I'd like to add a brief addendum to the reference to the 70 weeks of Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27, as it is held by different schools of thought, as it's held by, as we said, the pre-tribulational position, premillennial, dispensational, tribulational, premillennial, takes the 7 years to refer to the tribulation period. And the prince that is spoken of in chapter, or verse 26, where it says, and after 62, or after 62 weeks, is the way it's normally understood, Messiah shall be cut off. Going back to the 483 years in the context here, but not for himself. And the city and the holy place, the people of the prince that will come shall destroy it, but its end shall be with war, and desolations are determined. And then he will make strong a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. There is an application made in that position of the final Antichrist, who makes a covenant of peace with Israel and the rebuilt temple for 7 years. But in the middle of that period, he causes the sacrifice to cease, and he becomes number one and requires worship around him. The other position, which is the amillennial position, or the postmillennial position, would see this not as the final Antichrist making a covenant with many for 1 7-year period in verse 27, but Christ himself, the Messiah. And so in looking at these two positions, which, by the way, differ from the critical position that wants to see Antiochus Epiphanes as the one making the covenant from 168 to 165 B.C. when he came in and desecrated the temple area. And they refer the whole, so much of the book of Daniel to that. The only problem with that, though, is that when you, if you take the 483 years, wherever you start, the time that the decree went forth, it goes beyond the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. Whether you're starting with Cyrus, or starting with Darius, or starting with Artaxerxes, we're talking about either 536 or 458 or 444 or 45 with Artaxerxes, you're still talking about a period that goes beyond the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. So conservative scholars or conservative teachers coming from these two schools of thought interpret it differently, and the amillennial interpreter or the postmillennial that believes it is yet futuristic, that believes it goes beyond Antiochus and is fulfilled in the coming of Christ, the Messiah, would interpret it this way. Shevuim shevim nechtad al amachav ab ir kodshecha. That is, the 70 weeks, and most take this as 70 times 7, or 490 years, are determined against your people, or concerning upon your people, and upon the holy city, to do 6 things. Lechale hapesha, ulechatem chatat, ulechaper avon, ulechavit sedik olamin, velachtom chazon venavi velim Shoach Kodesh Kodeshim. That is, 490 years then are determined to, first of all, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, the sin offering, and to forgive iniquity, or to make atonement for iniquity, lechaper, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophet, and to anoint the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. Those taking this as referring to the coming of Christ understand it in this way, that there will be 490 years from the going forth of the decree to restore and to build Jerusalem, the holy city. There will be these six things that will happen. There will be the finishing of transgression, which happened in the death of Christ, the bringing an end to the sin offering, which happened in the death of Christ, and to make a final atonement for iniquity, which occurred in his death, to bring in everlasting righteousness, which Jesus did, and to seal up the vision and the prophet. That is, he fulfills the Old Testament and Daniel's vision of the coming of the Messiah, the rock cut out without hands in chapter 2, or in chapter 7, the Son of Man, and then to complete the prophet, not just Daniel, but all of the prophets, a collective singular understood here, and then to anoint the most holy place. And here again, he anoints the temple with his presence, who becomes the final temple. In John 2, Jesus speaks of himself as, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," speaking of his own body. And so he is anointed in his coming by the Father, and seen anointed via the resurrection. In the resurrection, the New Testament, for example, speaks of that in relationship to Psalm 2. "This day have I begotten you. You are my son. You're the anointed one. Hayom yelitiha. This day have I given birth to you." And it was the resurrection that Paul applied later, that even Paul applied that to, that is, to Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 13, the resurrection of our Lord. So the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies here, is the final temple, which is Jesus, who is anointed by his coming, through his death, and in his resurrection and glorification. And then, taking that position, it goes on to say, or Daniel goes on to say, "V'teda v'taskil min motza devar lechashiv." That is, know and understand that from the going forth of the word to restore and to build Yerushalayim ad Mashiach Nagi, unto Messiah the Prince. Orthodox Christian interpreters take this to all, on both positions, to refer to Christ. Critical scholars want to apply this to someone else, either the high priest or some other figure, the anointed prince, either Zerubbabel or Joshua, but not to the Messiah, not to Jesus. However, conservative Christian scholars take this to refer to Christ. And so he goes on to say that Shevuim Shiv'ah, that is, 7 weeks, and Shevuim Shishim Ushnayim, that is, and we go on to talk about 62 weeks. And instead of just taking the first 7 weeks by itself, 7 times 7, or 49 weeks, I think the Vav here adds the other 62 weeks, ending up with 483 years. Then it goes on to say, Tashuv v'nivnata rachov v'charutz, that is, it shall return, or it shall restore and shall be built. That is, the city of Jerusalem during that period of time after Cyrus, that began to happen during the time of the early Persian kings of Darius and Artaxerxes II. And what is built? The city, Rehov v'Charutz, that is the broad place, which basically was the main square of the city, and then the Charutz, which was the moat that was the trench around the city to protect it, it shall be built, uvetzok ha'itim. It shall be built, but in times of trouble, in troublous times. And of course, we see that happening later on in Ezra and Nehemiah as the city was being built. And then he goes on in verse 26, Va'achre ha-shevu'im shishim u'shnayim yikaret Mashiach, that is, and after the 62 times 7, or after the 62 weeks, and we need to also then add the 49 to that, making 483 years, since he's seeing these two figures together. We're told then, after that, he shall be cut off, that is, Mashiach. And Christian interpreters take this to be Christ, the final Mashiach, shall be cut off in his death, as he died. But ain lo, but not for himself. In other words, he dies for his people, for those who will become his people. So he's not cut off, and it's just him alone, but he bears all the sin away of his people, of the people of God, by being cut off. And then he goes on, V'ha'ir v'ha'kadosh yashchit am nagid haba. That is, but the city and the holy place, the people of the prince who comes, shall destroy. And that would have reference then, most all would take, to what happened in the destruction of Jerusalem around 70 AD. And it's in the Kitso v'Shetif v'Ad Kates Milchama Necharetzet Shomema. That is, but unto the end shall be, it shall be with a flood. That is, it'll be a very time of desolation. And unto the end, there will be war, and desolations are determined. It was a very, very bad time, which followed the 483 years, bringing us down to what happened with the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. But then he comes back in verse 27 with Higbir Berit L'Rabim Shavu Achad. That is, but he will confirm a covenant, or and, however you want to translate this, he will confirm a covenant with many for one Shavua, 1 7-year period. V'chatzi ha-shavua yashbit tsevach u-mincha. That is, but in the middle, or half of the week, that is, in the middle of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and meal offering to come to an end, to cease. The question here, among different interpreters, is this. Are we talking about a future Antichrist after a great gap from the coming of Christ to the future tribulation period of the Antichrist, that would be the dispensational premillennial point of view, or are we talking about what Christ accomplishes? So the phrase "vehigbir berit larabim," that is, he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. This basically is applied by the amillennial school of thought differently than the premillennial school of thought. The historic, or the especially the dispensational premillennial school of thought, applies this to the future Antichrist, which means you have to have a long gap between the end of the 483-year period, adding a 7-year period of several thousand years, or thousands of years, at least over 2,000 now, before that period occurs. Where the other position, the amillennial position, understands this to refer to Christ himself, going back to Mashiach, distinguishing that from the Nagid, that is, HaMashiach. He will make firm a covenant with many for 1 week, showing that when he came, he was here for 3.5 years, preparing and talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Then in the middle of that 7-year period, he brought an end to the sacrificial system when he died upon the cross. That is, he brought an end to Tzevach U'Mincha, to the sacrifice and meal offering. And this is interesting, because in the New Testament, Jesus had a ministry of preparation, talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, talking about himself as the one who would come to bring redemption. And then, in the middle of the week, he fulfills it. He causes the sacrificial system to come to an end. And then the writer, it is believed, comes back to what would happen following the sequence of all of this. The last, not only 3.5 years, but the overspill of that, and what would happen finally then with the temple and with the destruction that would take place when the Roman, Vespasian and others came in, and Titus, to Jerusalem. Notice it says, Va'al kenaf shikutsim, and upon the wing of, and the word here in the Hebrew is like words used for idols, detestable things. So upon the wing of detestable things. And some understand this, the elevation of detestable things, one makes desolate. Or the wing of detestable things makes desolate. Here we have horrible things going on now in the temple as a result of the destruction of the temple, preceding the destruction, what happened with the zealots. Josephus talks about the horribleness of that. And so there is that which makes appalment or desolation. And it happens, va'ad kala, and until the extermination, v'necharatza, v'necharatza, that is, desolations then are determined, wholly determined. And that which is wholly determined then would be the better way to translate it, titak al shomein. That which is wholly determined shall be poured out upon that which makes desolate. Certainly, the whole situation of the desolation of the temple that took place after the sacrifice of Christ and all the horrible things that took place leading up eventually to this period of 70 AD, God now is going to pour out upon that which causes desolation. It says a total, a whole destruction. And we see this in the destruction of the temple and also all that would follow in the aftermath. So, again, this text is variously interpreted, but the key, can I say, linchpin of interpretational difference is verse 27. The phrase, Vehigbir Barit LaRabim Shavu Achad, that is, he will make strong a covenant with many for 1 week, referring not to the Antichrist, according to the amillennial position, but to Christ himself, who makes firm the new covenant, which will establish the six things that are previously mentioned, that is, to bring the end, to anoint the most holy, but to bring an end to sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to forgive iniquity, and so forth, to complete the vision in the prophet. Then in the middle of the week, he then fulfills that, according to the amillennial school of thought, by his death and by what he accomplishes. So, again, as we look at this, how then does one understand in the book of Revelation the 3.5 years talked about, for example, in Revelation 11, or the 42 months? Well, according to the literal interpretation, it would refer to that period of time when the Antichrist would be breaking the covenant with Israel and causing the sacrifice and oblation to cease, bringing this text into bear. The other position, though, would say, we believe this text is talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and his bringing an end to the sacrificial system, so that the 3.5 years of Revelation would be John's way in the apocalyptic literature of referring to the times of the Gentiles, going back to Antiochus Epiphanes, that for 3.5 years, from 168 to 165 B.C., oppressed the Jewish people by going into the holy place, by sacrificing a sow in the Holy of Holies, and so forth. And so that John is alluding to what would have been understood according to the symbolic interpretation of Revelation, hence the amillennial interpretation, as to what would be understood as the time of the Gentiles, which oppresses the church, the people of God, and that it would get worse and become more intense, and not referring to a time when the sacrificial system of a literal rebuilt temple was being brought to an end, but rather being written at a time when Christians were undergoing the horrible experience of emperor worship, and this becoming a type of the world as a whole, an antagonism against the people of God or the church. And so the 3.5 years then being a symbol of this Gentile oppression, or the oppression of those that are not part of the church, the people of God, that they're persecuting them. And just like what happened under Antiochus Epiphanes. So, a very different point of view from the amillennial than over against the, say, premillennial, more literal interpretation of the book of Revelation, especially relative to the 3.5 years. So, this is an addendum that could be added to the previous discussion because of the variant interpretations of Daniel chapter 9. But again, as we've said before, none of this should become doctrine in the dogmatic sense, I do not believe. Because you can see how godly people interpret these texts in very different ways.